This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Shope and the Bulldog.
John Clayton is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. And by Goya. If it's Goya, it has to be good.
Rolling along here on a Thursday in our regular time slot here. John Clayton, always right as rain, ready, steady, go. John Clayton on the Western Hotline with me. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off. I am live again. John, I think we had you on a couple of weeks ago. We were at another Duff's. It's nothing but wings and beers for us here on WGR these days.
Oh, does it get any better than that? I mean, you got to like that.
Yes, we love that. You are going to Cleveland this week. I'm going to Cleveland this weekend. I got a hockey tournament with my oldest son, so no football for me, but I'll be okay in Cleveland while you're in Cleveland as well with the Seahawks, right?
That should be good. I mean, hope you get the. It should be interesting to see how this team is going to perform out, because again, we can't figure out the Browns. I mean, the Browns have been more bad than good, and that's got to be scary.
Yeah, I want to. We'll get to the Bills here, obviously, but they're on bye, and you know, there's stuff we've been over that we'll go over again with you on them and what the outlook is for them. But the Browns, I think, are one of the stories in the league because of all the attention they had in the offseason and all the expectations that there were, and it's just not going very well at all. You got a couple of primetime just stinkers already and more to come, at least appearances in primetime anyway. What's your read? Do you think that the back end of their schedule is soft enough that they can recover, John?
Like we've talked about, the AFC is so bad, you can always recover. That's the one thing that I think is pretty evident, because you don't have any real good teams other than Kansas City, New England, maybe a possibility of Indianapolis and Houston. But after that, I mean, everything's wide open. And so you can bounce back. There's no question about that. And you can see this is probably going to be a year where a couple teams have started real bad. You know, maybe by the time they're 2-4, 1-4, they can bounce back. But what you wonder about is that will they be able to bounce back? Because you know, look what they have coming up. If they can't win the game against Seattle at home, they're going to be 0-3 at home. And then they get a bye week and they come back to play New England. At 2-5, they may start losing, you know, some of the desire of the players to be able to play well. Because, again, you can see this is a distracted team. This is a team that, you know, tends to talk a little bit more than they perform. And, you know, I'm just amazed that here you add Odell Beckham Jr., you have, Jarvis Landry, you have a good running back in Nick Chubb, you have a bad offensive line, and you have a quarterback like Baker Mayfield, and they're scoring 14.3 points a game. Doesn't make any sense.
Right. What do you think? Is Mayfield – we've seen plenty of guys that get sort of – they get knocked around because the line isn't that good, and then they start to feel pressure even when it's not there. And to my eyes, like I'm not going deep under the hood here on Mayfield, but when I watch him, I feel like, yes, the protection is breaking down frequently enough, but I also see him bailing out on plays where he really shouldn't, where the pressure really isn't as – it doesn't warrant him taking off. And I think he's maybe getting a little skittish.
Could be, and because he has been hit so many times. And I don't think – I mean, I don't think he's a skittish player. I think that you know, he's pretty well dedicated to even play through pain if necessary. I know he had a shoulder ice on his shoulder at the end of the game on Sunday. But I think what it comes down to, and what you have to wonder about, are the play calls right, and is he executing the play calls right? I mean, you know, you saw that they had Antonio Callaway drop a ball that really should never have been dropped, and that set things back. The thing that I wondered about with Freddie Kitchen as the head coach, is he going to be able to get the players to respond when adversity happens, and right now that hasn't happened. And when you look at problems that the offensive line creates for both the play caller and also the quarterback, they've had 10 false starts, 6 holding penalties, 4 other penalties involving offensive linemen, and so you're constantly stuck with 1st and 20, 2nd and 15, and then out of it on 2nd downs, I can't believe this, is that they have to go conservative, and you have Freddie Kitchens calling 41% runs on 2nd and long. That doesn't make much sense. So whatever it is, it's not working, and they've got to get it working quickly.
John Clayton on the Wester Hotline with us here on WGR. Yeah, Kitchens, I think, John, I mean, we'll see how it all plays out. The season is still recoverable here. They're only 2-3. They already beat the Ravens pretty handily. So you know there's something in there. But I Kitchens all along has been the guy to me that with that group of personalities, if he missteps, and I think he probably already has, I don't think it would take very long for those guys to, I don't know, like lose interest in him, sort of not take him seriously, almost like just sort of roll their eyes at him because like you got some big-time personalities there.
Oh, agreed. And big-time personalities is not playing up to their level. I mean, and then you can see, again, how the big-time personalities have almost betrayed the team. You know, like, for example, one of the conversations this week that Freddie Kitchens is even identifying is that Odell Beckham Jr., who's only caught 2 passes in each of the last 2 games, and he hasn't been much of a factor at all, you know, wasn't there for most of the offseason program. And so he says, well, you know, it takes time to come in and learn the offense and learn to play calls. And so that makes you wonder about 2 things. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. not being as good of a teammate as he thinks he is, and number 2, are the plays so complicated that they make it too tough on the players? And you know, I mean, you can't question Odell Beckham Jr.'s ability to play because he's that good. He's one of the most talented in the league, and he's earning that $18 million a year salary, but something's amiss with that offense, and even though, you know, Baker Mayfield talks a good game, and, you know, Freddie Kitchen talks a good game, you know, talk is not working into responsible play.
So, John, looking around the conference, I mean, the Browns certainly factor into still at this point to me, like, you know, wild card picture. It's still so early, and like I said, the back end of their schedule is pretty soft. Let's talk about the AFC South for a minute here. You've got Indianapolis with, I mean, I don't know, do people still talk in terms like statement wins? But that was really impressive what they did Sunday night in Kansas City.
Oh, no question. And I think that, you know, I don't know if it's going to turn into a 2-team race because I don't know if anybody in that division is good enough to run away with things. But I think what you can see, the best 2 teams in that division are Houston and Indianapolis. I mean, could you imagine what Indianapolis would look like if they had Andrew Luck back at quarterback? Because, you know, Jacoby Brissett's done a nice job, but where Luck is going to score 26 or 27, you're going to get maybe 20 out of Brissett, which is still pretty good. And then you look at Deshaun Watson. I mean, he looks like a MVP-type player. I mean, he's one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. He's dynamic. And now he's got an offensive line blocking for him, and so that makes him even that more dangerous. So you throw those things together, and you start to say, okay, what about the other teams? You know, Tennessee, for whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, they don't get points when Marcus Mariota is on the field. I mean, when they're scoring less than 20 points a game and that hasn't changed, that's got to be a little bit scary. Even though they've drafted wide receivers, they have a Pro Bowl caliber running back, you know, their offensive line's been terrible, and Jacksonville is just a disappointment. I mean, I know that they're doing it without Nick Foles. Garner Minshew has been fantastic filling in, but the defense hasn't been good, and they look lifeless at times. And so I think right now in the AFC South, it's Houston and Indy.
Do you think Jalen Ramsey will get traded?
And the reason is the owner doesn't want to trade him. Number 2, Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin can't afford to trade him because they're fighting to keep their jobs. And so if you give away, you can argue maybe Calais Campbell might be their best player, but if you're going to give away one of your 2 best players on a defense right now that's declining, you're almost conceding the season. And to get a draft choice, and well, what's it going to benefit Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone if they get a couple of nice draft choices for it? I mean, they may not be making the choices on the draft choice, so they can't afford to give him up. The owner doesn't want to give him up. He's too good. But he's also a headache, and I guess They had a good heart-to-heart conversation in the last 24 hours, and so maybe with the owner talking to Jalen, maybe they can kind of patch it up, but clearly he wants out of there.
Right. What I'm really wondering is whether they can count on him. You know, like, will he play? It's been sort of one thing after another, and I can't tell you that all that stuff is BS or not, but, boy, it kind of smells at least a little bit, if not a lot. Like, so if they don't move him, would they have faith that he won't just shut down?
You have to kind of wonder. I think he's too good of a player to shut down. Although he had the back problem. He had the wife who had the baby and all those things. So he's missed a couple games. It does look like he's going to play this week. But I think when he plays, I mean, I think he loves the game well enough that he's going to play at a high level. And so I still think I put my money on him. Even though again he wants to take the money and run.
Right. So in the West, I don't know is. Is the formula that the Colts used something that other teams can blueprint and try to do to Kansas City, or do you think that was just maybe kind of fluky?
Well, I mean, I think you can try to do it against Kansas City because look at the problems that they have on defense right now. Now, Chris Jones looks like he's going to be out for a little bit of time, and he's a sensational inside pass rusher, you know, a double-digit sack guy, and he's real good stopping the run. You know, he's probably a $17, $18 million defensive tackle, but he's going to be out. Then Frank Clark, who's getting double-teamed, and it hasn't been as much of a factor for what they did in trading for a first and second round pick. I mean, what, he has one sack and 12 pressures. That's not what you would expect from a guy that's, you know, pretty good, but that's not working out. They have big issues in the secondary. And so I guess now, particularly with Chris Jones going to miss some time, you can do what they did in Indianapolis and try to pound Marlon Mack or whatever running back you have and give him some problems. But in the end, it's still going to be Patrick Mahomes who can still get you back. And you know they did a nice job on him with some of the coverages that they had because they went more man than they did zone, which is probably the smartest thing to do because at least if you give him a zone, he's going to find a way to get the ball to somebody. But, you know, still, Mahomes, I mean, this guy, that was the first time in his NFL career that he scored less than 26 points. Think about that. We're talking over 20 games, and he's always been over 26. And I'm sure he's probably going to bounce back and get over 26 this week.
John, I'm looking at the standing as we're talking, and Oakland is a game ahead of Los Angeles in the AFC West, and yet, it's only one game, and again, it's early. It's five games in. I tend to still think, because before the year I thought the Chargers would be good and the Raiders would be bad, I'm still inclined to think that the Chargers are the better team. How do you see the Raiders at this point? Like, are they a team that's built to stay in a wild card race?
No, but I mean, they're a team that's built to be, you know, probably a six-win team in the AFC that could win eight. I can see that happening just because, you know, they'll pick up a win that they shouldn't pick up one way or another. But the one thing I like about what John Gruden's done is that now he's finding a formula that may work in being able to make them more competitive. Now, again, their big problem is on defense because they don't have much left on the defense, particularly at linebacker. But he's now found a formula where he's going to run the ball with Josh Jacobs. He's going to throw shorter passes with Derek Carr and not risk us. In the game Sunday, in London, they only threw like two passes longer than 10 yards. That's it, two 10-yard passes, and that was it. And that at least cuts down on the turnovers, where you look at the Chargers, they're already missing almost a third of their starters because of injuries. You know, they lose Russell Okung, Mike Pouncey, the center, Derwin James, Mike Williams, the wide receiver, has been banged up. You know, Hunter Henry, the tight end, you know, I think he may play this week, but he's missed just about everything. So you start to add up all those injuries and you say, okay, at some point that's going to be a breaking ground, and they've broken. I mean, that's why they're 2-3. And of course, Melvin Gordon comes back and holds out. He gets his debut and only gets 32 yards. I mean, when you're taking away some of the best players on your team and they're out and maybe some of them not coming back, you're in trouble.
Our man John Clayton on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. Okay, so the Bills, they get the win in Tennessee. It's another low-scoring affair. It's another defense-first affair. But 4-1 is the record. And, John, looking at the rest of the schedule, like, I'm thinking of you almost every day when I look at the schedule and we talk about the show and do the show, because the schedule is such a big part of it. And the Bills' schedule here for the, you know, for a few weeks still, before Thanksgiving, is pretty favorable. I have a feeling that we lost John. Yeah, okay. That maybe that was coming. it sort of felt like there were a couple of glitches and we lost them. Joe, just if you want to just tell him we'll hook up again next week, we're fine. We're far enough in here. I thought I could hear him saying hello in my headphones as I was continuing to ask the next question. I had a bad feeling about that. We can just sort of pick up where we left off with John, which is where I want to be anyway. Oh, John is back. Okay, you're back. Hi, John. Sorry about that. We've had a glitchy day today.
It was weird because I guess what it came down to is the app, because it just died. Because I'm on the app, and all of a sudden I couldn't hear you, and I'm talking, and I couldn't register any kind of volume because I just got a dead look on the left side.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad we got you. We were ready to move on without you, but you're there, and that's good. The schedule is the point I was making as we glitched out there. The Bills have got Miami, of course, Philadelphia, and that's real, but Miami, Washington, at Cleveland, at Miami, again, Denver. Like the Bills sitting at 4-1. John, a really good record, like a record they've not had since the 90s, is foreseeable here with the way the schedule shakes out for the next month or so.
Sure, and I mean, you watch the Patriots. I mean, the last two games, they've not played very well, unless you thought they've had a pretty good game going up against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the offense has been off the last couple of games, but the schedule is so easy for the decent teams in the AFC East that you can take advantage of it. And I think right now, what you can see is they can take advantage of it. And, you know, where you thought before, you know, the 2 years ago when they won, they made the playoffs with giving up more points. The one thing I like about what they've done is that they don't give up any points. So even though, you know, Josh Allen may only generate 18 points a game, you know, they're giving up less. And so I think they have a decent chance now to have a very good record. And if they just don't take advantage of the schedule, and the defense allows them to take advantage of the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is tied to me to how they looked against New England as well. Like, even though that's only one game, you've got a track record now of Sean McDermott's defense doing a good job on Brady and the Patriots, and it's at a point now where I don't look at that game in Week 16. The Bills go to Foxborough there, and that game is sort of the potential for it. Still doesn't have a start time and a date because it might be on Saturday in one of those three windows that the NFL has on Saturdays late in the season. I don't feel like the Bills have to lose that game. You know, I'm not saying I'll pick them to win necessarily, but I think it'll be a close game.
I think so too, yeah, because one thing you know when you have division games, and, you know, even if there's a big gap sometimes between the two teams, like, for example, you know, I go back last year, and there was a big gap between Seattle and the Los Angeles Rams, but the games were close, and because there's a familiarity, there's a little bit of a rivalry with, you know, certain teams when they play in the divisions, that you can make, you know, even if there's a gap, and clearly there's a gap between the Patriots because how good they are on defense, but there's not a gap as far as the defense of the Patriots versus the defense of the Bills. I mean, the Bills were good last year. They're good this year. And so I think that you can see that what the defense can keep the game close, and that's important. But what's also nice is that you do it in the other games and don't make turnovers, then you maybe have a chance to you're not going to catch the Patriots, but you can get a nice 10-11 win season.
Right. I mean, to me, 8-3 is foreseeable before they go to Dallas on Thanksgiving. That's assuming two losses, Philadelphia at Cleveland, maybe, you know, or, you know, I don't know what Denver is. I mean, they won last week. Maybe they're a little better than the 0-4 start. I don't know, but it's just sitting there for them, you know. Even going to Pittsburgh later this year isn't as daunting as it usually is because there's no Roethlisberger. So it's really looking like a pretty favorable year the way it's shaken out, John.
Yeah, and that happens. I mean, that's why I'm such an advocate of studying the schedule, because you can always come back after the season and say, oh yeah, well, they took advantage of an easy schedule. But it's like, hey, you're taking there's opportunity there, and you're taking advantage of opportunity. It's like, hey, the team doesn't make the schedule, the league makes the schedule, but if you can take advantage of it, and that's what's right there in the AFC. That's why, you know, other than say Miami and even now the New York Jets, possibly Pittsburgh, I'm not eliminating anybody. Anybody can still bounce back. You know, know, those three teams, maybe, and Cincinnati too. Cincinnati's pretty bad. There's four teams right now out of this race, so the other 12 can hang in there and try to do it. But right now, when you start to look at it with the schedule, maybe the Bills aren't as good as the Colts. Maybe they're not as good as Houston. But right now, I think the Bills have a chance to have a better record than both teams.
Right, yeah, that's what the schedule can do for you, like you've been preaching to us for years. All right, John, enjoy Cleveland. I'm sorry, our paths will not cross. We'll be in the same area code. We'll have to settle for that, I guess.
Okay, I hope I bump into you.
All right, that is John Clayton on the Westherd Hotline. His appearance with us, brought to you by Goya. If it's Goya, it has to be good, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. All right. From John Clayton to Evan Abrams of the Action Network. He's become a regular here right after John Clayton. So we'll do that coming up after this. Take a look at some of the betting lines and what Evan thinks are good ideas if you're interested in doing any of the old wagering on the games this week. So stay tuned for that. That is straight ahead. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live at Duff's on Niagara Falls Boulevard at Military in Niagara Falls, and this is WGR.
They've been a good defense for a long time. I don't know, you know, rookies and probably all other quarterbacks. They've been a good defense, so they're going to play well against anyone. But we're excited for the opportunity. We're excited for the challenge, and I think we'll be prepared and confident going in.
That is Giants quarterback Daniel Jones talking about tonight's game. Evan Abrams is on the line with us here, and Evan is sponsored by the Action Network. Looking for an edge? Download the free Action Network app and get live odds and expert analysis for every game. Evan, we've been doing this since football season started, so we don't really know each other that well yet. So I'm not sure if I should admit to you that when Joe just now did the update and mentioned that there's a football game on WGR tonight, I went, oh, yeah. So the Giants and the Patriots are playing. All the injuries for the Giants have just sort of normally, you know, the Bills are having a nice year here, and I would want to get interested in somebody upsetting the Patriots, but holy cow, unless you have some wizardry to drop on all of us, I can't imagine a scenario where the Giants are in this game in any way, shape, or form.
Listen, the wizardry I can drop right now basically is maybe the Nor'easter knocks Brady out of the game. But aside from that, I'm not sure how much. Listen, the spread's 17 right now. It's the biggest spread in Thursday Night Football history. Thursday Night Football started back in 2006, and we just haven't seen a spread this high ever. So, I mean, the matchup is lopsided for the obvious reasons. The Patriots are undefeated. They're really covering the spread by massive margins and the spreads are massive in themselves. The Giants are very, very taken out on defense right now. And you see 75% of the tickets on the Patriots, 84% of the money. So literally pouring in on New England. The only thing holding this spread back, to be honest, from going up to 17.5 and 18 is the weather. The weather we're seeing from our weather right now at Sports Insights, 15-mile-an-hour winds really throughout the game. It's probably going to affect a little bit how the Patriots play. And, you know, yep, depending on if they're going to, you know, run it up or this, but we'll see.
The way you said that initially there, it's the largest spread in the history of Thursday Night Football, made me wonder if the spread would, by saying that, does that infer that the spread would be bigger if this were a normal week and New England had a full week to prepare and the game were on a Sunday or a Monday?
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think there's a lot going into the short rest from both sides. I mean, you also look at it like this. It's an island game, right? I mean, it's a prime time matchup, so you are getting a bump with the tickets and the attention the game is getting in that sense. If it was on 1 o'clock on a Sunday and it was with a mix of other games. But I also think the weather is a large part here. And I really think people are really focusing hard on how bad it's going to be during the game and how people are even talking about it. Listen, who knows what it's going to look like? You know, we sometimes you talk rain and nor'easter, and then the game happens, and it's actually okay. But this is really how the betting market gets, you know, involved and really gets pushed in certain directions with these types of games. And also, to be honest with you, the Patriots are 21-0 straight up and 14-7 against the spread as over a two-touchdown favorite. So, I mean, they are not the normal. You know, normally when teams are this high favorites, they don't cover. Not this team. It's not Brady.
Evan Abrams is on the Wester hotline with us here on WGR, previewing the weekend with the folks at the Action Network. We got another London game, and this time it's a morning game, at least for us anyway, here in the States. So that's cool, like early football on Sunday. Those games, like how talk about like a short week. That's a really weird week, and you see teams do handle it differently, go over early, go over like as late as possible, like Friday afternoon. How hard is it to get your hands around what's going to happen in one of those games?
I mean, listen, you got to do a little bit of research. The fun thing, what happened last week, Oakland had experience going over there. Chicago didn't. Oakland went early. Chicago went late. Now, listen, I'm not saying that had a ton to do with the result, but if you notice, Chicago came out real flat and ended up coming on in the second half and almost, you know, blew the door open, but Oakland stayed straight. So, I mean, I think it does have a large impact. The trend that we see is that it's first half unders. I mean, usually these games start off a bit slow. It's 10-3 plus 4.6 points to the under since 2016. So it's really an interesting spot with these teams starting slow. And the one thing you really have to look at with London, Tampa Bay is coming off of back-to-back road games, and now they're going to London. So that is a really, really tough spot for them. Now, Carolina's been on a roll. Kyle Allen's been, you know, 10 times what Cam Newton was, especially with the losing streak he was on. But that's an interesting travel spot when you look at Tampa.
Yeah, for sure. How about New Orleans and Jacksonville here? Like, Bridgewater finally did some things in the air. Jacksonville's gotten really good play out of Minshew, and like I don't know, I guess I at first maybe like a lot of people want to think that that's probably a fluke and that it won't last, but it's been multiple weeks now, and I mean it's not been spectacular, but he's looked good at least. What do you think about Saints and Jaguars this week, Ethan?
I mean, the thing that's interesting is I think people are questioning both quarterbacks. I mean, Teddy is good, but Teddy isn't this good. I mean, you saw that sack at the 50-yard line at the end of that game against Dallas. I mean, he made the mistake that should have lost them the game, and it didn't. And then sometimes that happens. Listen, the stat that floors you, in Bridgewater's career, he's 26-7 against the spread, okay? 12-2 against the spread on the road, covered 8 straight road games. I mean, this guy does amazing jobs with any team he's given. He's just a great, great quarterback at being efficient for the system that he's in. Now, the bad part. Teddy's held the ball way too much, 2.86 time to throw, 29 of 37 qualified quarterbacks. And here's the stat that also floors you. New Orleans this year has only attempted 7 passes 20-plus yards downfield. It's an insane thing to even hear from a team.
Yeah.
But because of Bridgewater, they're not throwing the ball down there. And to me, I think they're getting Ramsey back from the Jacksonville side. This is basically a pick 'em. New Orleans has really, really done well. They've covered 3 straight, won 3 straight. But the margins have been really thin. Remember that, right? Like, they've only won by an average of 5 points per game in those 3 wins. I think it's an interesting value spot for Jacksonville, just based on the matchup. And you know everyone's going to be all hell on New Orleans.
Talking with Evan Abrams of the Action Network here on WGR. Kansas City lost at home. The Colts, it was a huge story. First time Mahomes has been held, under 26 points in his career, which is just really stunning. They've got Houston, and Houston can score, and Kansas City doesn't have a very good defense. I don't know, at first blush, I'm looking at 8.5 right now, Kansas City, and I guess I'm a little surprised by that given the way last week went.
Actually, this has been the biggest mover of the week. It opened at 8.5.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're all the way down to 4.5 right now.
That's
unbelievable. And this is the biggest public sharp disagreement right now. It's actually a really, really interesting story. You've got 61% of the tickets on KC. So basically, everyone's walking up to the window and putting individual tickets on KC, which makes sense. Coming off a bad game, Mahomes hasn't looked good. But 65% of the money, so the big bets, have come out on Houston, which has really moved this spread down 4 points. And it makes sense. I mean, Mahomes has thrown one touchdown pass in his last two games. And last week, the under hit again in Arrowhead. Remember that. 34-18-1 is the under at Arrowhead under Andy Reid, the most profitable stadium of any stadium in the NFL. So that's something that definitely is a trend that has been working in this spot, and Mahomes hasn't been looking good. And again, this over-under is 55. So very interesting, and everybody's pushing over. 72% of the tickets on the over. So that might kick up by Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sorry I screwed that up. I'm looking at your page right now, the Action Network page, and I looked at the first number that's there, and it's what it opened at, of course. Yeah,
If you wanted Houston, it was a fine line to quote.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was my thought. You know, I would think Houston's going to be able to score with them. That's a team that I would definitely think can keep up, you know, if not, you know, win the game outright anyways. So.
But listen.
All right.
It was just, you know, a very, very, very unfamiliar spot for Mahomes, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else we need to hit here? Anything else you want to highlight here, Evan, for the weekend?
I mean, to be honest with you, the biggest trend going into the weekend that I think is really nice for people to know about is just how good underdogs have been. Underdogs have been above 500 every single week entering the season. They're 46-31-1, almost 60%. And to me, the biggest storyline is the road teams. Road teams are 48-28-1 against the spread, 63%. So, I mean, this is literally unheard of for how efficient both of those have been through 5 weeks. I mean, basically looking at the market, things coming back to a mean, it's a possibility. But those are just two things that are complete outliers at the moment through the quarter poll.
All right. Sounds good, Evan. Thank you very much for the insights. We appreciate it very much, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week, man.
Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, guys.
That is Evan Abrams again on with us, sponsored each week by the Action Network. Looking for an edge? Download the free Action Network app and get live odds and expert analysis for every game. All right, we will take a time out and hopefully hear from lots more of you between now and the finish line. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Your confidence level in both of the teams. Very nice start for the Sabres, 3-0-1 with an overtime win last night over Montreal in their second home game. They play tomorrow against Florida. I'll be at 716 for that. We'll have Jason Bottrell on the show tomorrow at 5:30. So looking forward to our first visit with the Sabres general manager. But I've been spending the day and really enjoying hearing from you folks out there about your level of confidence in both teams. All right, Sabres, good start, obviously. Bills 4-1, they're at the bye, and I think it's trending in a really positive direction for them as well. We'll hope to hear from more of you on where you're at with both teams right now. Are you scared? You've loved and lost. You know, I know it's tough life as a sports fan, but I think there's reason probably more for the Bills than the Sabres at this point because of sample size to feel pretty good. But I can talk myself into the Sabre thing. I'm telling you, I'm a sucker for it. We'll elaborate on that and hopefully hear from more of you after this. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Mike Schoep has the day off. I am the Bulldog, and we're live at Duff's on Niagara Falls Boulevard at Military in the Falls here on WG.
It feels good. I feel like we have a great power play right now. We got a lot of confidence out there, and I feel like we all five guys can score, which makes it hard to defend against. Right now it's clicking for sure.
I don't know. I mean, it's somebody that's on the power play.
Yep, that was in there.
Right. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Bulldog. Good job. How much they pay you for that? I'm gonna go with Johansson.
One more guess, maybe.
Olofsson. I didn't see. I thought. I thought what? I'm an idiot. I don't know his voice yet. What?
The accent, maybe? I mean, it's not very strong.
No,
but.
I knew. Yeah, well, that's right. I knew it was a Swedish guy, I was assuming.
They have a lot of Swedish guys that play in the power play, though, so that's
tough. And including Johansson. I thought last time I heard Olofsson, he was a little more softer spoken than that, and that sounded a little more, you know, a little more just confident talking to reporters than I would have expected him to sound from what I thought I heard the last time I heard him. That's all. So anyway, there, how's that for like a bunch of garbage I just spewed about getting it wrong again on guessing who's talking from the Sabre locker room? It's early. Hey, you know, we'll get there. They keep this up, I'm gonna know all these guys' birthdays. They keep playing like this. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you're new to the show, or just haven't heard us do that before, Joe plays Sabre sound. We started doing this last year when they got good, when they were hot. It was like, oh boy, I'm starting to pay attention, and now so we started trying to see if we knew enough or were dialed in enough on the Sabres that we could identify them by their voices in the sound clips. And, you know, there's a couple new guys, so it's taking some time, that's all. Let's get back to the phones. I should shut up. Tony is next up on WGR. Hi, Tony, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hey, bud. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
You know, as a guy that's over 45, it's like I'm, like, cautiously optimistic about both teams. I'm really excited for the Bills. You know, I would love to see Singletary get back in the lineup, and I see us at full power. You know, I truly believe, like in that Patriots game, he was in there. I think could have been a difference maker with everything that did happen in that game. With the Sabres, I think that we're like a great goalie away from being a championship quality team. I think Ralph Kruger's got these guys playing. Let's reexamine it on January 15th, 2020, where we're at.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
far so good. You know, it's just, it's kind of funny because we've had our heads buried in the sand the last 5 years with pretty much both these teams, and it's like they're starting to mushroom up and look like we're going to have some competitive, decent teams going forward.
Yeah, it really looks like it could be fun. I mean, I think the Bills are tracking towards that just because of the way the schedule lays out. We'll see about the Sabres. The computer screen that I have, like Joe puts the names up and then like some comment about what the caller's going to say. The caller there ended up saying he's cautiously optimistic. I wish he would have phrased it the way it was written on the screen. And I don't know if that's what he told you, Joe, or just what you wrote, but it said nervously optimistic.
No, that's what he told me.
And that's all of us, right? Like that's perfect. I mean, I guess it's really, you know, nervous could be synonymous with cautious in the same way. It really, you know, means the same thing. I just like nervously in place of cautiously, because I think, like, I'm here at Duff's, and people have been coming in to get this code word for this contest to enter at WGR550.com for a chance to go to Pittsburgh to see the Bills play the Steelers in December. And it's, you know, you walk around any bar, you go out, hey, looking pretty good. Yeah, they're looking pretty good. Like, you do that. That's how you sound. You don't go, yeah, man, they look great. You're like, they look pretty good. Like, it's like that. That's nervously optimistic. Like, that is it. We have a way to describe that sound. In your, what is that called? Lilting? You take on that. No, I feel pretty good. I like them. Yeah, no, I feel pretty good. That is nervously optimistic, is what that is. I love it. I love it. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Let's talk to Anthony. Anthony, hi, you're on WGR. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Chris, what's going on? Hey, I see that you're headed to Cleveland this weekend, by the way. If you guys get time, make sure to try and stop at a Shake Shack. Best burger I've ever had.
All right, noted. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, but anyways, so I was calling about the Bills. I called yesterday, but you guys had flipped over to hockey. You know, I'm nervously optimistic is a good word for the Bills. And you guys were kind of touching yesterday, if I can go back, about what they could do to possibly upgrade the team. And personally, I'm fine with who they have. I honestly really am. I think Singletary is a big deal. I think Foster is going to help. We'll see how prominent he can be. The one thing I'd like to see them upgrade, and I don't think that we will see them do it, is at some kind of a defensive end, edge rusher. I know we have Murphy. I get it. But I'm not on him. I'd like to see a real dominant stud there. And that's where I think the one place they can improve. And, of course, for Allen to stop playing hero ball. You know, if Allen's even 10% better, I think, you know, I think the future for us is very, very bright. And one last nugget before I get out of here, I know you're up against a break, is I think that if Allen is not the answer, I think McDermott and Bean survive Allen and endure on with what they've built up. So just something to chew on for later.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate the call and appreciate the tip about Cleveland. We'll take a break. I'll respond to some or hopefully all of what Anthony just brought up after the break, because I did not notice what time it was because I'm at Duff's and I'm just kind of hanging out. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Your confidence level on both teams are off to good starts. Let's talk about it after this on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.